welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hi, Mike.
We have constantly, as a profession, been looking for drugs and behaviors and other interventions that would decrease coronary artery disease, a major killer in the United States. There are some old drugs, very old drugs, like the drug colchicine, that maybe has a role to play. Colchicine is an anti-inflammatory drug. I think it's familiar to most of us from treating acute gout and pericarditis, among other diseases. The drug is unique in that it has a very narrow therapeutic index. Drug accumulation is associated with severe and occasionally fatal consequences. But because inflammation is part of the underlying pathophysiology of atherosclerosis and acute coronary syndromes, research has looked at whether colchicine may have a role in the routine management of coronary artery disease. Mark found an article. It was actually published in the New England Journal of Medicine toward the end of 2020. It starts on page 1838 and helps us to try to answer the clinical question, for patients with coronary artery disease, does colchicine reduce the risk of acute coronary events? Mark, sort of an interesting theory, does it?
Yeah, it does. And this is, you know, potentially a real practice changer for management of patients with vascular disease. It's the LODOCO2 trial. I'm not sure what low-dose colchicine 2 trial, I think it is. And it was a previous study that looked at patients with recent MI, and it showed that it did reduce a composite of cardiovascular outcomes. Was a smaller study. This is the follow-up LODOCO2, and they identified a broader group of patients that included anyone with documented coronary artery disease, either by CT angiogram, angiography, or having a very high coronary artery calcium score. Anyone with moderate renal disease, valvular disease, or heart failure was excluded. Study began with an open label run-in period where they gave everyone colchicine, and they excluded 15% of patients mainly because of drug side effects. So that's going to make the results look a little better in terms of harm, certainly, than in the real world. On the other hand, they weren't screening for a response. They were just screening for tolerability. That left 5,500 patients who were randomized to colchicine 0.5 milligram once a day or placebo. Analysis was by intention to treat. The groups were similar at the baseline. Patients' average age was about 66 years. Only 15% were women, and most had had a previous stent or revascularization. So they followed these folks for a median of 29 months, just over 2 years, and about 10% in each group stopped taking the medication or placebo, similar in both groups. There were no differences between groups in withdrawals, side effects, so it was well tolerated. They looked at a bunch of different composite outcomes, and that always, you know, concerns me a little bit. The primary composite was a combination of cardiovascular death, MI, stroke, or revascularization due to ischemia. That was lower with colchicine, 6.8 versus 9.6%, so the NNT was 36 over 29 months, so that's pretty good. The revascularization kind of stands out as a less serious of those four composite outcomes. And if you drop that, it's still statistically significant, 4.2 versus 5.7%. NNT is 67. So basically, for every 67 people you put on colchicine, you prevent one death, MI, or stroke over just over 2 years. Looking at the individual endpoints, it was mainly MI and the revascularization that were significantly reduced. They didn't see a difference in ischemic stroke, mortality outcomes, or all-cause mortality. There were trends toward fewer cardiovascular deaths, but there was also a trend toward more non-cardiovascular deaths. In terms of harms, myalgias were a little more common in the colchicine group, but 21 versus 18%, but otherwise, as I said before, pretty well tolerated. So bottom line, low-dose colchicine, 0.5 milligram daily, significantly reduces the risk of MI and ischemia-driven revascularization in patients with known coronary disease. If you, the cost is $8 a month in Canada, $65 in the US. There was some trend again toward increased non-cardiovascular mortality, and there's no impact on overall mortality. So it's not a home run, but it's at least a, you know, ground rule double kind of thing where you have significantly fewer MIs and revascularizations.
We should add that the $65 per month in the United States might be, you know, the nadir, at least out here on the West Coast, it's more like $140 a month, which is astounding. This is a drug that's been around for decades and decades. You know, it's produced for $8 a month in Canada. Why it is so expensive here is perhaps worthy of another discussion. But my question to you, Mark, is you've outlined the fact that there are a few concerns that make us less than sort of absolutely phenomenally excited. But is this a practice changer? Should we be putting patients that have coronary artery disease and have no contraindications on this half a milligram daily?
I think this is still in the realm of a judgment call. I'd like to see another study, more data, longer follow-up. 29 months isn't super long. So hopefully, you know, again, it's a cheap drug. The concern is that just that signal of more non-cardiovascular deaths. It was 1.9% in the colchicine group, 1.3% in the control group. It was flipped around for cardiovascular death. So again, we're just not totally sure about that. I think it certainly is worth a discussion. In terms of the cost, you mentioned that the retail cost is in the $180 to $200 range. But if you go to goodrx.com, it's in the $50, $60-ish range. So with those coupons, you can get a lower price.
Thanks, Mark. We'll talk with you again in a week.
All right. Talk to you then.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.